Don't have a lot of time here, so don't worry. Not going to preach you a five-piece sermon, a point sermon with four poems, and I'm not going to burst into song anytime soon in this. But what I want to do is just reflect on some of the prophecies about Jesus Christ. And we've been doing this for the whole Christmas season, looking back at the prophecies and how they've been fulfilled in the New Testament. We're not going to look so much at how they're being fulfilled in the New Testament, but I just want to look at some of these prophecies because they're so rich in information about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ, that child that was born some 2,000 years ago. Before I get started, let's just stop for a word of prayer. Father, what a wonderful time it has been already in your house, singing praises to your name, glorifying you, singing about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to this world to save us. Father, the message has been proclaimed so many times in so many different ways this morning. Lord, we thank you and we pray that that message would not fall on deaf ears and closed hearts, but Father, open our ears, open our hearts, that we might receive the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, as we look at some of the prophecies that describe the Messiah, Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, you can't go throughout a Christmas season without looking at what I would probably call the main prophecy of the Messiah, which is found in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Actually, the prophecy is longer than that, but knowing that we were going to be a little short on time, I'm just going to focus on verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9 of Isaiah. And most of you could, some of you could probably sing this tune with me because a composer named Handel put this into, put it with music, and I've sung it several times, not going to sing it today, but anyway, it was glorified in that, but it's such a wonderful prophecy about the Messiah, and this is what it says. Isaiah writes, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Again, a prophecy that you've all heard, and in this prophecy, we have four or five, depending on how you want to break up the first one, names for this Messiah that is coming. I put the first two words together, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. The Messiah that is coming, and oftentimes when you think of a king that is coming in to rule, you don't think of him as a counselor. You don't think of someone who you can bring your problems to, who you can talk to, and who you can receive help from. But the Messiah is going to be the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is God. He's the Son of God. He's part of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this child who will be born will be the Mighty God. He will be the Eternal Father. Now, this might be a little confusing for us because we say, well, wait a second, there's God the Father already. So we have Jesus the Father. But really what this is saying, that he will be called eternal. He always has been. He always will be. And then the last name that we see here is the Prince of Peace. I know that for all of us, we would love to live in a place of absolute peace. We have no idea what that's like. We have no idea of living in a place that is peace. But the Messiah is going to be the Prince of Peace. And then as we go on, one thing it says about the Messiah is that there is going to be no end to his rule, to his kingdom, or his peace. You know, on this earth, every so many years, we elect a new leader for our nation. And it's always I'm going to be honest with you, it's a horrible battle. It's horrible. I hate it. I hate presidential elections because I don't hear anything good about anybody. So I don't like them. But we elect a ruler, a leader. We wouldn't call him that. We elect a leader. And most of the time, half of us don't like him. And the other half, they'll live with him. They'll tolerate him. But of this Messiah, he is going to come. He's going to be the Prince of Peace, and there's going to be no end to his kingdom, to his rule, or the peace that he is going to bring. Our world has known brief moments of peace. Usually it's after a major conflict, a war of some sort. There is a few days, months, weeks of peace, and then something else starts up. But when the Messiah is in control, there will be no end to the peace that we will experience. Then there's another prophecy in the book of Isaiah, one that we probably don't think is much about or don't look at, but it is a prophecy about the Messiah. It's found in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And this gives us even more information about the Messiah and talks about how he will rule. It starts out by saying where he's from. In verse 1 of chapter 11 of Isaiah, it says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse." Jesse is David's father. "And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be a belt around his loins, and faithfulness a belt around his waist." See, a prophecy we don't hear about, but a prophecy that can only be fulfilled in the Messiah. And we just briefly look at it. First of all, he's the offspring of Jesse. He is of the line and the lineage of David. He will bear fruit. I think we can all say that Jesus' ministry here on earth was a fruitful one. We are the fruit of Jesus' ministry. You realize that? We are his fruit. It says that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. And I have this picture in my mind of Jesus coming out of the water after he was baptized. And the Spirit of the Lord came and lit on him as a dove. And the voice of the Lord spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But the Spirit coming down, and the Spirit was with him. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And then it says that he will delight in the Lord. This is the Messiah. Will delight in the Lord. He will judge with righteousness. His judgments will be fair, and he will care for the afflicted. He will slay the wicked, he will be righteous, and he will be faithful. All telling us about this child who is going to be born. This is the Messiah. All these things talk about how wonderful this child, this person who is going to be born, is going to be. And then I want to just kind of tell you or read to you the fulfillment of that prophecy in the New Testament. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" This is how the Messiah entered into the world. Didn't come in a big city. Didn't come in a fine hospital or hotel or home. He came in a lowly stable, because that was the only place for him to be born. And the first people to come and see him were not the wise men. They did come, but they were a few years late. It was not the governor, it was not other princes, it was not other kings from other countries, it was not the Pharisees, it was not the scribes. None of these people came to see Jesus. The first visitors were shepherds. The first visitors were shepherds. Good thing that Jesus was born in a stable, because there's no way that shepherds could get into any place else to visit him, if that was the case. So we have a very lowly birth, a very humble beginning. Humble, except for the fact that the occasion was announced by some very unordinary folks. An angel. Something you don't see every day. An angel appeared to the shepherds and he says, "Good news! There's a Savior that has been born today. And not only has he been born today, you can go meet him. He's in the stable, he's wrapped in cloths, and he's lying in a manger. So go ahead and meet
the same.
Well, you know, the invitation is still for us today. You don't have to be somebody to meet the Messiah. You don't have to be of a certain lineage to be one of His children. You don't have to be poised. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have power or position or prestige. The shepherds had none of these things, so they were invited to come. And it's the same thing for us today. We are invited. This is God's invitation. It's His invitation for us to come and to meet the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men. God wants you to come and see His Son. God wants you to come and know Him and to believe in Him and accept Him. Because when we do that, we become children of God and joint heirs with the Messiah, with Jesus Christ Himself. Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to the Messiah? Have you come to the Savior? He wants you to come. He tells you to come. That's what the Christmas celebration is all about, is God's invitation for all mankind to come and to meet the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, thank You for sending Jesus Christ to this earth, that through Him we may live. Father, thank You for inviting the lowliest of people to the birth. And Lord, You invite us also to come and to meet Jesus Christ, to believe in Him and to accept the gift that comes, the gift of salvation, through believing in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Lord, I pray that for all of us here this morning, we would know whether we have made that decision. And Lord, if we are unsure, Father, I pray at this moment that we would give our hearts and our lives to You, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and He died on the cross for our sins, and by believing in Him, we have life everlasting. The invitation is clear, and the invitation is for all. We encourage you to come and to join the family of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.